It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome back, everybody. It's good to have you here on the show today. My favorite lawyer, Norm Blumenthal. Norm Blumenthal, attorney for workers and consumers alike, selected as one of the top attorneys in Southern California. Also in 2017, Norm was inducted and recognized as one of America's most trusted lawyers in the area of employment law and consumer protection. Norm Blumenthal has been a regular contributor here on Money for Lunch for several years and probably one of the one of our favorite people. We get all sorts of positive comments, and Norm kind of shoots it straight. Always good to have him here. Norm Blumenthal, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Bert. Always a pleasure. And what I've been thinking about this week, and I think we should talk about, is the future of our children and grandchildren, I might say. What's the next generation going to do? We don't want to leave them here with just all they do is get a check each month and spend it. That's not going to give them a great life. We need to give them jobs and a future and things to do. So I was thinking back when I was in like third or fourth grade, and the Russians just put Sputnik up. And President Eisenhower, that time, it really goes back to the 50s, we were pretty freaked out in this country about the race for space and how far behind we had fallen in both rocket telemetry and our ability to get some kind of space capsule up there. And the president, what he did was, the interesting part is he started with the schools, and he said, you know, we have to teach more technology. We need more engineers. We need more people to work on this, and we need people on the ground that are going to build these rockets and machinery to send us into space. So, and by the same token, he, you know, put in the interstate highway system. I'm sure most people out there don't remember the time when all the roads were, you know, one lane going each way, and there was no interstate highway in this country. It didn't start until Eisenhower started the interstate highway system, which took years to build, but employed a lot of people and got a lot of jobs, and the entire country now runs on the interstate. So these are the things that we have to look forward to today. So the question is, what are our kids going to do tomorrow? Where are the kids in school today? What are they going to learn? And those that don't want to go to college, what are they going to do?
I want to say this real quick, and I apologize for cutting you off. But I like the fact that you pointed out, hey, you know, that Eisenhower started making these changes. And I think that, you know, when I hear people, when I hear parents specifically say, you know, I don't know what our future is going to be like for our children or our grandchildren, you know, a lot of that is on us, right? I mean, it's on us as parents and as grandparents to set our kids up for success. And again, it could be pushing, what do you call it, more math and technology, helping our kids to learn how to set and achieve goals. But sometimes, you know, some parents want their children to be successful, but they don't set their kids up for success. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And that's a key point that I want to make, is that the parents themselves have the obligation, you know, the money that's now going to be spent on child support that each parent's going to get to help pay for their children's well-being. It's going to go out in the stimulus package that passed. there's a responsibility for that. But the first point I wanted to make was Eisenhower got the ball rolling, but every president and Congress after that, Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon, Reagan, Carter, all the way through up until unfortunately President Obama, when we got into this adversary system. And we can't be successful in this country when we have people fighting each other in Congress and creating this stalemate that we have today in Congress. And that's a recipe for failure. Because right now we're really in a technology race with China. It's not a bad thing. We want to have the best technology. We want to be the first to put automated cars on the road. We want to be the first to get rid of the gasoline-powered engines. We want to be the first to have all of these future technology in place. And China does, too. So, really, it's time for Americans to get together and to be as one moving forward from a political standpoint. It shouldn't matter which parties party is in office. The recipe should be we want success regardless of who's in office. And, it's not, well, you want success, and so we're going to vote against it. This is where we are now. It's just an adversary system to be an adversary system. And we have to stop this bickering back and forth where, Republicans are bad and Democrats are good, or Republicans are good and Democrats are bad. We're all in this together. So how do we make it work? Excellent question.
I just want to talk about this thing that you touched on, because I totally agree on it. Look, there are times that we have an actual, let's say, conflict. And of course, there's nothing wrong with, an intelligent debate. But I think that what we're seeing now, to your point, is that no matter how good the initiative is, if the Republicans come up with a good idea, the Democrats will shoot it down, or and vice versa. If the Democrats have a good idea, the Republicans are shoot it down. And like you said, we're not going to progress if people are bickering and causing conflict out of spite. And that's what it comes across a lot of the times. So they're just doing it out of spite.
And it's, if you win, I lose. If I win, you lose. And it's really, if we need to win together. And when I first started, and so let's talk about how we incentivize our children and our parents, the parents of these children, to keep them in school, to at least get all the basic education that they need, starting from preschool through the graduating high school. And then from there, it's, they have to decide what they're going to do. But when I was in law school, I started out in order to help pay my way. I went to school at night, and I substitute taught in Chicago public school system, which you can only imagine, it's not a very conducive place for learning, but as a substitute, you can only imagine what happened to me. So, I was making a grand total of $35 a day to go to the, south side of Chicago and Cabrini Green and places like that to teach. And I learned that being there, that what worked was incentivizing the kids to learn. So what I did in the morning was I said, okay, in the afternoon, after lunch, we're going to have a spelling test and a math test. And the winner of the test best score will get $1, each of you. $1 then was a lot of money. And so it was amazing how much the students, the kids, were into something like that. And there was something for it. In the afternoon after we we finish grading the test, you know, we'll play a little music at the end of the day. So I was able to work my way through that system. And we need something like that. The first thing is the kid gets up in the morning and wants to go to school. Well, why does he want to go to school? Because he's going to get a nice breakfast, you know, some cereal and some milk and some granola bars, whatever it's going to be for breakfast. He's going to get a hot lunch, you know, some type of burger, you know, veggie burger, chicken burger, hamburger, some hot meal for his lunch. And then, you know, to go home, some more milk and some type of cracker. So you know that the child's not going to be hungry. You can't learn when you're hungry. And there's going to be kids that don't show up. Now, the ones that don't show up, that's a red flag. And that's the one that where, you know, there has to be a social safety net where they go out and visit the parents. Why isn't your child in school? And what can we do to help? And how can we make it better? And so you're going to have a system where there's red flags for people that need extra help, and there's incentives for people to show up at school. And food, of course, is always a good incentive, and good food is conducive for good learning. And then today in our technology, instead of using the best of the best to teach these courses via the internet, you know, every teacher is more or less has a lesson plan and is on their own. That really doesn't work anymore, not when you have this technology where you can have the best teachers in the country teaching every student, you know, skills.
Right.
And the teachers themselves can learn from the teaching of these really great teachers and help the students through this course system so that we can have this wonderful learning experience. So that's the concept of you know, in the broadest sense of making our schools more receptive for students.
Yes, and you know, one of the things, one of the, I think, blessings, benefits, whatever you want to call it, surprises out of COVID. And again, we know that we've had almost 1 million people lose their lives, you know, and things are starting to turn around, and I'm not trying to make light of some of the people who have suffered tremendous loss. But one of the great surprises, I think, from COVID is the fact that our students, our children, can learn from, you know, from an online situation, whether it's Zoom or whatever you use, but they can learn from home. And I think that some of the teachers have been inspired or at least woken up to the fact that they can teach a little bit out of the box. You know, and I think that one of the things that I personally am pushing to change is the fact that we are kind of stuck in the sense that, everybody gets the same lesson or how do I phrase it? Get the same subjects. And that's fine to an extent. But, you know, if you are gifted in math and science, then as a student, you should be allowed to have as much math and science as your little brain can handle. Now, if you are gifted in writing or gifted in some other areas, then those subjects should be given liberally to you because that's most likely what you're going to use the most of. I think where there's a flaw in our current education system is that it is created, number one, for the masses, which I understand, hey, that worked, you know, whatever it was, 50 years ago. I think that's got to change. Second of all, you and I have talked about this before. There's this massive, almost propaganda-like mentality that you must go to college. Well, not everybody wants to go to college. College is not for everybody. If you are, let's say, mechanically inclined, you have great dexterity, you like taking stuff apart and putting it together, maybe college might be for you if you want to take that curiosity and that skill set and go into one of the engineering, disciplines. I think Elon Musk was that way. He loved tinkering with stuff. However, maybe you want to have your own shop. Maybe you want to, you like working on motors, and so college isn't necessarily for you. Maybe the military might be better. Maybe you want to work on some big, mechanical things. Maybe you want to work on diesel trucks. Maybe you just want, work on cars. But my point being is college is not necessarily the way for this individual to go.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And there's, right now, these junior colleges are much more receptive to different trades. And school itself is getting to be more receptive. I know my grandchildren, they study great artists. They spend the time doing that. And so maybe somebody feels gifted in art or gifted in music. And those gifts will show up in the system. And when those gifts show up, the responsibility of the system is to say, okay, this fellow, gal has a gift, and we have to recognize it and be able to nurture that so that we can have more creativity. The good thing we have in our system where we can be superior to the Chinese is we have creativity. The Chinese system is not conducive for creativity like the U.S. system. And we allow our children and the people that live here to go out and take risk and to expand. Our capitalist system is built on those premises. So it's going to be, and it doesn't mean everybody needs to be in college. There's no question about that. It's not for everybody, but everybody needs a basic education. Starting with preschool through 12th grade, you got to get your basic education. And then along the way, the system itself has to recognize, there's going to be some really gifted students along the way, gifted in athletics. Like, we recognize that pretty well now. But there's gifted in many other things that we talk about. And so the system can work if we all work together, but we have to get our kids in the basics. And to get them the basics, we have to make school something that they get up in the morning and want to go to. And we need to have the school system simply because parents need to have a place where their kids are safe so they can go to work. And that's, with COVID, everybody is, working from home. We managed to make it work, which is three cheers for the United States, how we're able to adapt to a very difficult situation and able to make the system work all the way through. But now we're coming out of COVID. We need to get the kids back in school. They need to be socializing with the other children. They need to do things that kids do and together and socialize and form community or be in community organizations. That's all coming back, but we've got to make it work. And The one thing that gets kids to school is a good meal. I mean, there's no question about it. Good food is certainly something that'll bring the kids back, and it should be something that we concentrate on. But the government has to work together to make these things happen.
Absolutely. And I real quick story, speaking of getting people to school with food, this is a long time ago, but, there was a PTA meeting, and the only people that showed up to the PTA meeting was myself, my wife, and there was another parent, there was a single mom. So three adults showed up to a PTA meeting. And, one of the problems was that they're having a PTA meeting at 6 o'clock at night. You're juggling, getting off work, getting food on the table, blah, blah, blah. And so I I expressed to the PTA leadership that, you know, at the next PTA meeting, I'll be in charge, and we'll, you know, we'll get a bunch of food donated, pizza is what I was thinking, and that'll take the burden off the teachers, I mean, not the teachers, the parents, and they'll show up. And sure enough, to your point, we got a bunch of pizzas donated. We got Coca-Cola to donate a bunch of drinks, and it was standing room only for the first time ever in the history of this school for a PTA meeting. And so not only does that work for students, it works for parents because, again, when your time is so tight and you're trying to juggle all these balls, something as simple as having a decent meal takes that one thing off your back, and you can think, okay, hey, I don't have to worry about food. I can just worry about getting my kids to a safe school, you know, and they're going to get something, right? So it works not only for our students, but it also works for our parents. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, and that's key. And you know, in the next generation of technology, you know, I saw on the news last night that Texas now leads the nation in alternative energy sources, wind and solar.
Wow.
And they're retraining all of the oil rig personnel to build wind and solar power energy sources and to service them. So it's a transition, and, you know, that'll go on for a very long time. But one thing, Texas has a lot of land. And so they're putting up these alternative energy sources and moving on to the next generation of energy. So we're on our way to having people that, you know, they you don't need a college education to put up solar panels or windmills. So these jobs pay, you know, as good as or better than the jobs on an oil rig. It's a lot safer. And they're able to keep people working where they don't have to go to college to have these educations. They're trained in their job to get it done. So it's a system that's starting to work. We need to now put on Eisenhower's interstate, we need to put on supercharging stations. And so this is the next step, and hopefully in this bill government will recognize this and incentivize these gas station owners to put in supercharging stations, which is a really simple thing to do. You know, give them 100% write-off depreciation in the first year for building it, and give them 25% of their income tax-free from the sale of the electrical energy, and they can put it in place. They don't need the utility. One thing we have in this country is we have a tremendous system for transportation of natural gas. You can send natural gas from Texas to California for pennies for transportation, for pennies. And so if you have a generator at your gas station in California, and that generator, because you don't have solar yet, can run on natural gas, you don't need the utility except to pay them the transportation cost. And that generator can then generate on the spot electrical energy for the cars. So it's not the end, because you know ultimately you want solar for solar, but it's a beginning. And the most important thing is to get the vehicles off the road that are combustion engine vehicles, and we can do that. I mean, and it seems like we're working towards that. But government has to come in and do what they did during Eisenhower's term and thereafter, and now, and that's build a supercharging station other than just Tesla supercharging stations. You need to be able to in 30 minutes fill up your battery with electricity so you can continue on your way.
Right. And you know what's interesting to me too, I have to imagine that the automakers are having these discussions, but if I was an automaker, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, you know, I know that they all have a, what do you call it, an electric car or two, you know, but obviously they have to be, they have to see where the future is, and you think that they would start figuring out or start, you know, doing exactly what you're talking about. They already have a, for lack of better terms, a hotline into the White House. These guys employ tens of thousands of people. You know, they have lobbyists. They have all sorts of connections that the average person like you and I don't have. They could certainly contact their representative and say, hey, we're going to start doing this, these supercharging stations, and we want this, that, and the other thing. And I would think that the White House would sign that immediately, because it is the wave of the future. We have, you know, first of all, I think the governor there in California said, hey, we want to make 90% of the cars in California electric by, I forgot what date. And then some other governors are doing the same thing. So, you know, this is an exciting time. Not only is it going to create a bunch of jobs, not only is it going to create safer jobs, but I get excited about getting off of foreign oil dependency. And with a bunch of electric cars, we can completely, for lack of better terms, not to be crass, give the finger to the OPEC nations, because these guys, we've made them a lot of money. And there's, and again, this is my opinion, I believe that some of that money that they make from the U.S. is given to a terrorist organization, and we don't have to go down that rabbit hole. But bottom line, to be able to get completely off foreign oil is exciting to me.
Yeah, I think it not only foreign oil, but all oil, I think will just be natural gas. The key thing is to wean our, the electrical source from the utility and have it direct with generators like Chevron and Shell and ARCO, all these big oil companies. They can create their own generating system through use of their natural gas, and they got plenty of it. And so they can still sell it, but the cost of electricity, if you run through your utility, as I have an electric car, is over the top. You know, I'm fortunately at my office, I have a solar power, so I can charge my car on my own solar power there. But my wife's electric car charges at home, and until we got solar power, it was fairly expensive with the utility. So we need these supercharging stations to compete with the utilities for recharging, and I think they will. And so it's a whole new industry, and until we can get the ultimate source to be solar and wind, which is reusable, natural gas is going to be around for a while, and so will these generators. They're going to have to build an awful lot of generators at these locations, and it's going to be wonderful construction boom in this country and building these generators. I just tried to get a natural gas generator for my house, and it's a 7-month wait. That's another booming industry that's going to take off, and so there's a lot of good things that happen, but it starts with the kids, and that's where the focus has to be, to have the kids, just like you had the pizza, to have an incentive to come there and be in school, and then they'll learn by accident, is the way I put it.
Well, you know what's so funny? Even though what you said just now is funny, but that is true, because what happens is, you know, for a lot of us, we're not 100% sure which way we want to go in life, and if you get around and or get exposed, for lack of better terms, to different technologies, different career opportunities, you get to get your, you know, you get to, for lack of better terms, maybe play in the sandbox, and then you can say, wow, I really like this. And so you discover it by accident, to, you know, kind of to your point. You make, and I had a friend of mine, that's exactly what he did. He was completely lost. Him and I went to college together, and And he was, I don't know why I didn't do this, but anyway, he was smart enough to go to the counselor and say, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing here at school. And the counselor looked up and said, hey, you have this very high math quotient or whatever, and you ought to consider getting into computer science. And that resonated with him. So he did get a computer science degree, went on to work for Microsoft, and 4 years after Microsoft, he's got a couple of $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
And so all by accident.
Look at Bill Gates. He was the founder of Microsoft. He was at Harvard, and it was boring for him. He left and started his own company and became Microsoft. So that gives you an idea. But the point was is that he had the exposure through school to want to – so he saw it, and he had his aha moment and said, this is something I want to do, and took it from there. You need the aha moment. And we need to give that to all our kids to make sure that they all have that opportunity. And if we have our safety nets where, hey, it's going to be easy to know if we have an issue when the kid doesn't show up at school, then we put the social safety net involved and go to the house and say, you know, what can we do to help? We're here to help. And, you know, it's not a question. There's no punishment or anything. How do we make it better for the people that need a little extra help? And there's going to be people. Everybody's not the same. But we all have to get on the same page. We got to stop with, you know, fighting back and forth between Democrats and Republicans and get on the same page and all just work towards a better future for our kids, starting with making a future, the kids having that education they need from preschool through high school to make sure that then they can make their decision of where they want to go from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what, and I'm going to plug one of my favorite charities. It's called After School All-Stars, afterschoolallstars.org. And After School All-Stars was created and initially funded by the governor himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I believe they're up to about 25 chapters nationwide. It's an after-school program. They supply a safe environment. They do, interestingly enough, to your point, supply foods. They have teachers there to help kids, with their homework and things of that nature. And the program is simply for those individual kids who, instead of going home and being latchkey kids, or being at home by themselves and possibly getting into trouble, they have a safe place to go. They can get food. They can get some help with their homework. So if you know of somebody that needs this type of after-school program, go to afterschoolallstars.org, check them out. It might be they might be in your city or working with your school already. And it's those kinds of programs that give our kids that added support. Now more than ever, we have tons of single parents. Not only single parents, but these are single parents who are working. So, you know, when you are working 40, 50 hours a week, and it's, again, not having to worry about your kids being at home by themselves is a great relief. It's a great blessing to be able to do that. So, one of the things that I do appreciate about Schwarzenegger, he's a pretty big Republican, but he likes to separate, he's almost a Democrat in some cases, right? Because he has spoken quite a bit about the environment. So he's for protecting the environment. He's also pro-education and getting monies to help our children in that sense. And he has said many times that education should not be a political thing. It shouldn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Those things should not come into play when it comes to our children's education. And I wholeheartedly agree. I don't know when it became a political thing to educate our children, but we need to stop that. Back to how you started the show. We got to stop that bickering and just focus on helping the kids.
Right. And, you know, the beauty of it is we have the physical structure because we have the schools already. We just need another crew to come in and work, you know, volunteer work if necessary, the after-school program. It's just keep the school open for those that don't have the environment at home because of working parents that can stay there. It's an easy thing. You serve some food. You like it all starts with the food. And, you know, it really does. And I bet there'll be a lot of people there want to learn how to cook, too. So there's other parts, too, that are successful because we're all going to need to eat and we're going to need to have good food and good nutrition. And you know, the it's got to be good. You got to have that good hot lunch and, you know, you got to have the get them in the morning, you know, with some breakfast and some milk and cereal and you know, granolas and whatever you need to keep them there and maybe something hot, you know, some soup in the afternoon. But that's the idea. And you start there, and you start there with a unified front. And just because the Democrats are for this doesn't mean the Republicans should be against it. That's my gripe. And I never understood why Trump, when he was president, was against masks. I never understood it. Just because the Democrats were for it and the scientists said it would work, he had to be against it, and it cost millions and millions of people's lives, and it created an adversary system. We should have all been on the same page that we are now a long time ago, and instead of having 600,000 people dying from U.S. people dying in this country, it would be a lot less if we would have been on the same page from day one. And that's the best example I can give of why we all need to be on the same page in this country.
Absolutely. Norm Blumenthal, thank you so much for stopping by. Always, always a pleasure to have you here. Looking forward to having you back very soon.
Okay, Bert. You too. All the best. Take care.
Good stuff there from Norm Blumenthal. If you want to find out more about Norm Blumenthal and his team, you can go to bamlawca.com. That's BAM, as in Bravo Alpha Mary, bamlawca.com. And Norm would be glad to chat with you or point you in the right direction if you need some assistance. And it's, what do you call it? It's up to us. That's the great thing about it. It is literally up to us to shape our future for not ourselves, not only for ourselves, but for our children. And helping our children to find out what's best for them. What are they really interested in? What are their skill sets? Teaching them how to set and reach goals, teaching them how to deal with obstacles and disappointment and even losing. We tend to get stronger, better, smarter after we've had some losses in our lives. Anyway, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. As always, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us out so much by sharing these episodes, by your comments. We cannot do this without you. So please hit the like button. Please hit the share button. And let's help as many people as we can. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.